It's not unusual, as we've heard, when you're young, to hold a variety of low-paying, crappy, demeaning jobs, and short-term jobs. And so I'm going to tell you about one of mine. So I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and about 20 minutes from our home in an area called Van Nuys, there was a second-rate amusement park called Busch Gardens. It's no longer there, but there are a few Busch Gardens still scattered around the country. I looked it up. And so Busch Gardens had a few things going on, a few different things. One, it was a brewery. So you could take a tour of the brewery on a monorail, and then you'd end up with a free glass of beer, and you got to keep the glass. And the second thing it had going on was birds, a bird theme. And so they had an aviary, they had trained bird shows, and they had, artificial lakes and rivers. You could take boat rides, and maybe you'd see a colorful, exotic bird in the foliage. And then the third thing it had going on was a kind of an Americana theme. So they had Dixieland jazz playing out of all the loudspeakers, and the employees wore white polyester pants and blue or red shirts and those flat hats, straw hats with those striped red, white, and blue band around them. And then part of the Americana thing was carnival games, old-timey carnival games. So there was beanbag toss and ring toss and knocking things down with baseballs. And then, of course, there were prizes, and these were the usual crappy prizes, useless junk and stuffed animals, except they all had a bird or a beer theme. So on the summer I graduated from high school, I was 18, 1978, I got a job in the carnival area of Busch Gardens. And this sounded like a really fun job, but it turned out to be incredibly sad and boring because Busch Gardens was not a popular attraction. So there were very few customers. So you'd be standing in your wooden booth, and it's 100 degrees, and in a 6 or 8 hour shift, only two or three groups or families would come by on a weekday, maybe a few more on a weekend. And we weren't allowed to amuse ourselves in any way, so you couldn't socialize with the other barkers, we were called. You couldn't play the games, and you weren't allowed to bring a book or write in your journal or anything. And so, remember, in 1978, there was no way to surreptitiously entertain yourself. So there are no phones or iPads or iPods or anything. Your watch wasn't interesting then. You know, there's nothing to do. And so, except maybe wave to the barker and the game across the way. And then when anybody did enter the area, we were trained to do that old timey barker thing, like, hey, step right up, get your three rings or beanbags or balls for a quarter, and try your luck or skill, win great prizes, that kind of thing. And we all went nuts, of course, when anybody came around. Well, so now a good day was when someone who worked in the gift shop was sick, and I got assigned to the gift shop. And the reason I liked that was, first of all, the gift shop was air-conditioned, and then I could spend my time rearranging the merchandise, like little beer mugs, keychains, and those pens that you tilt and the parrot slides up and then slides back again. And then, best of all, it had a cash register. So we had like those money belt things in the booths, but this had a cash register, and a cash register always has a big fat roll of white paper. So a person could pull out the paper, borrow one of the bird pens, and write very long letters to her friends and relatives. Long, narrow letters. And then if a manager or a customer came along, a person could just put their bird pen back in its display and tear off the letter and stuff it in the pocket of her white polyester pants. But getting back to the carnival games, one day I was assigned to a game I had not worked at before, and I think it was called Fishing for Ducks. So the way this worked was there was a cheap plastic, like kiddie pool, behind the counter on a platform, and it's maybe 5 feet across and 9 inches of water. And in the pool are about 30 of those little yellow rubber ducks. And they appear to be paddling around and because there's some sort of motor or fan making the water move, so the ducks are bobbing around. And the game consisted of you pay me a quarter and I give you a net, and then you have three tries fishing out ducks, hoping to get the one duck that has a gold star on its little bottom, on the underside. So a couple groups came around and to play, lost and left, and then after a while, a huge family approached my booth. It's like a dozen people, three or four generations, and they look foreign, and I can hear their accents, and I decide that they're Greek. And the patriarch of this clan approaches my counter and takes out his wallet, and he's a huge man with black hair and a big, bushy black mustache, and he wants to pay for a bunch of tries for the little kids in the group. So I start handing out nets, and the kids start taking their turns fishing the ducks out, and the whole group gets involved. You know, they get excited, you know, and they say, that one, that one, that one, and then they're all kind of disappointed when the duck with the gold star doesn't turn up. And they keep playing, and they're not, they just are not getting discouraged, and especially the main guy is determined to win. And so he keeps buying turns, even though it was normal people would have just given up, and it's not fun anymore. No one's having fun anymore. We're all kind of tense and serious, and he's getting agitated, and I'm very, very nervous. And when I'm confronted with any sort of angry person, and I'm hoping and even praying that this duck turns up with the next turn, but they take more turns, and even the adults are taking turns, and he's taking turns, he's handing over money and handing over money, and I'm getting more and more nervous, he's getting more and more agitated, and finally some little girl fails to turn up the duck on her third try, and he just explodes, and he says something like, I don't believe there is a duck with a gold star in the pond. I believe you are cheating. You are cheating. And I just fall apart. And I just stand there and I just start to cry and I stammer, I'm not cheating. I'm not cheating. And he gets more and more worked up, and he says, and now his whole family's backing him, I want to see the ducks. We want to see the ducks. Show us the duck with a gold star. Show us the ducks. And I freeze. I honestly don't know how to handle this situation. And I just stand there blubbering. And finally, he lunges across the counter and he reaches into the pond and he starts pulling out the ducks, two, three at a time, and laying them on their sides on the counter. So there's all these dripping ducks lying there. And after a minute or two, now all 30 are out there, and we can all see that not one of them has a gold star on the bottom. Well, now he goes berserk. And I'm trapped in this small booth with just a foot-wide counter between me and this irate man and his huge, disappointed family. And I'm blubbering, and he, you know, my tears didn't even affect him. I'm not even sure he noticed I was crying. And while he's yelling at me that I'm a cheater and how could I be so mean to these little children and on like this, and I'm blubbering, well, someone must have alerted the management that there was a situation at the duck booth, because up comes a very nicely dressed woman. She's like 40-ish, blonde, coiffed, made up, looks really different from the scraggly managers I'm used to dealing with. And she walks up to this man, cool as can be, and asks him what his problem is and listens sympathetically, and then starts handing out prizes and vouchers and passes and tickets. Of course, gives him his money back until the whole clan is happy and they move away from the booth. And then she turns to me, and I'm still crying, and she asks me what happens. I can't even explain. I'm so upset. And she asks me if I know where the duck with the gold star is, and I say, no, I don't. And so she comes into the booth, and we look for it together. And we look under that dark place under the counter. There are three ducks lying there as if they were injured and couldn't play the game anymore or something. I don't know why they weren't in the game. And they're lying there, and one of them has a gold star on its bottom. And I really fall apart. And I say, I didn't do it. I didn't know it was there. And well, of course she knows that I had nothing to gain by cheating. I'm not going to get the prizes. But she says I should come to her office. And we close up the booth, and I follow her through the park to a kind of a mobile home on the outskirts. And it's very nice. It's air-conditioned. And she has a big bird cage with those white birds with the little yellow things on their heads. And she sits me down on the couch, and she sits in a chair opposite me while I sob my heart out. And she says reassuring things, but she's got kind of a little amused smile on her face. And she's saying, you know, it's over now. It's all over now. And everything's going to be okay. And I think you should try to calm down. And, you know, you're not going to lose your job. I'm not going to fire you. Well, the rest of the summer went pretty well. I never had to work the duck booth again. And most days I was put in one of the gift shops. So I wrote dozens and dozens of letters to my friends and relatives. And looking back, I can see that I was actually rewarded for my emotional instability. Thank you.